Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to this week's segment of Live Without Limits. Today we're talking about projecting your financial status for the first year. And as you remember, last week we talked about how to estimate your initial capital that you need to get your business open. And that's when you have a brick and mortar store where you have a physical site. And when you have a business where you work from home, you need overhead, but you may not need as high a overhead, but it's also important to understand the differences and how to incorporate both of them. So, what we will do is, now that you have developed a preliminary estimate of your initial capital requirements, you are in a position to determine whether you have enough money to start your business. If you don't have enough money, you will have to partner getting a loan or selling stock if you can, scale down your business to fit the money you have, which runs the risk of scaling it down to the point where it cannot succeed, postpone starting your business until you have enough money, consider one of the other possible businesses you identified earlier that may have a lower initial capital requirement, or drop the idea of starting your own business altogether. If you have enough money to start your business or you believe you can raise it, you are ready to go to the next step of your financial plan, preparing financial projections for the first 3 to 5 years of operations. Several important questions involving profitability, cash flow, return of investment, and the ability to pay off a loan, if there is one, need to be answered at this time. The first question is, what kind of profit can you expect for the first year? You went through a fairly deliberate process to estimate your first year sales when you figured your initial capital requirement. It incorporated your target market, your competition, and the marketing mix you plan to use to gain a competitive advantage in your effort to create and maintain customers for a profit. Now you need to be sure that your first year sales estimate will generate a sufficient level of profit to yield a good return on the money you will invest in the business and to provide enough money to expand your operations. If you need to borrow money to start your business, the level of profit you expect to make will be very important to potential lenders. Sales may pay interest, but profits will be needed to pay off the loan. Profit planning, conducting cost volume profit analysis. The first step in your financial analysis is to estimate the expected profit for your first year based on your projected level of sales. The second step involves figuring the resulting profit and loss for your first year at various sales levels. This is called cost volume profit analysis. In the example used in Chapter 7, you estimated that your first year sales would be $230,000. You need to identify all your expenses and determine how much each expense will be for the first year. Cost of goods sold may be your largest single expense. In this example, if you buy the items from $5 and sell them for $10, your cost of goods sold will be half of your sales. This is the same as 100% markup on cost of, or the markup of 50% of sales. If you expect sales to be $230,000 during the first year, then your cost of goods sold will be $115,000. This tells you that you will have $115,000 left from sales to cover your other expenses, and you hope provide enough profit to justify your time, risk, and financial investment. Next, you estimate all the other expenses of your business. Most of all of these expenses will be fixed. That is, they will not vary directly with sales from month to month. These expenses include rent, advertising, payroll, insurance, and interest, among others. Adding these expenses for the year to your cost of goods sold for the year will indicate your total expenses. Remember, when you are estimating your expenses, you do not want to merely plug in the numbers you used when you figured the initial capital accurately requirement. The SBA worksheet was based on cash outlays. It does not accurately reflect the items that will be treated as expenses in this chapter. This is particularly true if you expect to have a loan or purchase equipment. If you have a loan, you report only interest in principal payments as an expense. If you buy a major piece of equipment, you will expense or depreciate it over a predetermined number of years instead of treating it as cash outlay. The IRS does allow you to fully expense certain types of equipment in the first year, however. At this time, you should check your projections with financial data for similar businesses that may be listed in annual statement studies. As noted earlier, trade data provides ratios for cost of goods sold, gross margin, selling and administrative expenses, profit as a percent of sales, and numerous other important statistics that will help you estimate certain figures. These data are also helpful in verifying whether your estimates are in line with the experience of other similar businesses. Estimating the first year's profit or loss is an essential part of the financial plan. If you find that the first year sales will not yield a profit, this is not very encouraging. Keep in mind, however, that few businesses, even those that become financially successful, generate a profit in their first year. If you project a loss, you need to determine whether it is too large for you to handle. If your projections for the second year include a significant increase in sales and a large enough profit to make up for the loss you incurred in the first year while you were learning the ropes and establishing your business, you may still consider going ahead and starting your business. If your projections for the second, third, and fourth years are no better, you should take a good hard look at whether this is the right business to start. Cost volume profit analysis is a particularly helpful approach for evaluating a potential business venture. If you can estimate your cost of goods sold, which will vary with the level of sales along with the other expenses, they are relatively stable or fixed, you can estimate the profit or loss of your business at various levels of sales. You can also calculate the level of sales it will take to break even, to have your revenue cover your expenses. The following examples illustrate how cost value profit analysis can give you an idea of how to make various estimates. They are highly simplified and do not use the fixed cost, one-time outlays, and other factors included in the SBA worksheet used in Chapter 7. The retail example used in the SBA worksheet will be profiled later in this chapter. If your cost of goods sold is expected to be 50% of the sales, then your gross margin will be 50% of sales. To compute your break-even point, divide the fixed expenses by the gross margin percentage of sales. If your fixed expenses are expected to be $110,000, then you have the following equation: fixed expenses over gross margin as a percent of sales equals break-even in dollar sales. $110,000 over 50% equals $220,000 in sales. The formula indicates that your break-even point in sales is $220,000. At your break-even point, sales will cover your cost of goods sold and annual fixed cost. The break-even level of sales is reflected in the following simplification income statement. Sales, $220,000, 100%. Cost of goods sold, $110,000, 50%. Gross margin, $110,000, 50%. Selling, administrative, and interest expenses, $110,000, 50%. Profit or loss before taxes, $0 or 0%. Your business will not begin making a profit until sales exceed $220,000. Your break-even point is important because for every dollar of sales beyond your break-even of $220,000, you will get 50 cents in profit. If your sales forecast falls below your break-even point, you will probably need to have additional money on the sidelines that you can put into your business to keep it afloat until sales exceed expenses. The annual amount of cash needed will have to be determined by the cash flow analysis. Cost, volume, profit analysis just looks at the relationship between sales and expenses. Cost, volume, profit analysis has another benefit. It permits you to calculate the level of sales needed to generate a certain level of profit. If you want to know the level of sales needed to produce a $10,000 profit, then you add the desired level of profit to the fixed expenses and do the same computation. Fixed expenses plus profit goal over gross margin as a percentage of sales equals sales to generate a certain level of profit. $110,000 plus $10,000 over 0.50 equals $240,000. The estimate can be reflected in the following statement. Sales, $240,000, 100%. Cost of goods sold, $120,000, 50%. Cost of gross margin, $120,000 or 50%. Selling, administrative, and interest expenses minus $110,000, 45.8%. Profit or loss before taxes, $10,000 or 4.1%. Electronic spreadsheets make it possible to determine the level of profit or loss that may occur with various levels of sales. They will also enable you to see the impact that changing the markup may have on your break-even point and the corresponding profit and loss estimates for various levels of sales. It should be noted that the spreadsheets will not be automatically take price sensitivity or elasticity on demand into account. The calculations are based on the formula that you provide when you develop them. Electronic spreadsheets can also analyze the impact that changing the fixed cost may have on the profit and loss. The following examples may illustrate the point. Varying your markup. Let's say that you enter a market in which price competition is intense or you choose to offer lower prices than your competition. You decide to have your markup on cost be 66.7%. This is the same as a 40% markup in sales. Your cost of goods sold will then be 60% of sales. If you paid $5 for an item, your selling price will be $8.33 instead of the $10 used in the previous example. Your gross margin will be 40% of sales. Your break-even level of sales will be $110,000 over 0.40% equals $275,000. If your markup on cost is 66.7% rather than 100%, you will need to have $275,000 in sales in order to break even. Moreover, if you want to know the level of sales it will take to generate a $10,000 profit, the following calculation will tell you that it will take $300,000 in sales to get to the level of profit. $110,000 plus $10,000 over 40% equals $300,000. The calculation indicates that with gross margin of 40% of sales, for every dollar beyond the break-even point, you generate 40 cents in profit instead of the 50 cents that would come with a 50% gross margin. Now, what I want to do is break here, because this is a great way of showing you how when you use pay-per-click and you to bring people to your website, if you pay more than a dollar, then you are losing money when someone buys from you, because when you figure that out of 100 people that come to your website, one person actually buys from you, then you got to figure no click is more than a dollar. So if you want to use pay-per-click, then you never want to bid more than 50 cents, because 50 cents means that you're breaking even when someone buys from you when you use this formula. This calculation indicates that with a gross margin of 40% of sales, for every dollar beyond the break-even point, you generate 40 cents in profit instead of 50 cents that would come with a 50% gross margin. The question, of course, remains, which pricing strategy will be more effective? Will the percentage decrease in price, having a similar markup, produce an even greater percentage increase in the number of units sold? This is what is known as the elasticity equation. If you believe that by lowering the price of by 16.7%, lowering your price from $10 to $8.33, you can increase the number of units sold by more than 16.7%, then you should lower your price. If you are right, you will generate a higher level of sales. This assumes, however, that your competition doesn't also lower its prices and that people will buy more at a lower price. It should also be noted that the elasticity addresses only the corresponding sales increase or decrease. The change in profitability would still need to be calculated to see if the price change increases your profits. If you sell for less than your cost, then there is no way that you can make up for it in volume. Varying your fixed expenses. Suppose your markup is 100% of on cost, but your fixed expenses are $120,000 rather than $110,000 because you choose to rent a better or larger facility. Your new break-even point will be $120,000 over 50% equals $240,000. The question then is, will it be able to generate at least $20,000 more in the sales to justify the additional $10,000 associated with the better location? If the answer is no, then you will probably be better off with the first location. The second location may have some appeal, but the calculations show that it may not be better in terms of its ability to produce profits. The same principle applies to judging the merit of spending more on advertising, expanding the hours for the business, or adding a website. For every dollar you spend in each of these categories, you will need to increase sales by $2 just to cover the additional expense. The increase in fixed expenses associated with the example will also have the impact on the level of sales required to generate a $10,000 profit. $120,000 plus $10,000 over 50% equals $260,000. Combining the lower markup rather than the 50% of sales, and your fixed expenses are expected to be $120,000 rather than $110,000. Your break-even point will be $120,000 over 40% equals $300,000. You can see that both your markup and your fixed expenses have a direct and considerable effect on the level of sales you will have to achieve in order to break even or make a profit. The original example is helpful in determining your break-even point in sales for the typical year of operation. The first year, however, is not the typical year. It also includes various expenses associated with setting up your business, such as grand opening, advertising, and decorating. These expenses will be incurred in the second or third year. Consequently, you need to add these to your selling and administrative expenses when figuring your first year's break-even and profit projections. Cost volume profit analysis is particularly helpful for answering the following four questions about your business. Level one, what level of sales is necessary to cover your out-of-pocket expenses? It is demonstrated earlier that if fixed expenses are expected to be $110,000 and the gross margin is expected to be 50% of sales, $110,000 over 50% equals $220,000. What level of sales is necessary to cover my out-of-pocket expenses and pay me for my time? If you are a sole proprietor, your salary or draw will be what is left over after the business expenses are paid. You want to receive $25,000 for your time and effort. The earlier examples were structured like a corporation with everyone on the payroll. Since this example is for a sole proprietorship, the owner's salary is not expensed, and so the fixed expenses have been decreased by $25,000. $85,000 plus $25,000 over 50% equals $220,000. What level of sales is necessary each year to cover my out-of-pocket expenses, pay me for my time, and retire the debt incurred in to finance the business? You estimate that you will need to borrow $20,000 to supplement what you plan to invest from your personal savings to start the business. If the loan is amortized, treated like a mortgage with monthly payments covering the interest and principal over 5 years and carries a 11% interest rate, then the annual debt retirement payments will total to $5,220. This example assumes that the business is the sole proprietorship described in level two. $85,000 plus $25,000 plus $5,220 over 50% equals $230,440. What level of sales is necessary to cover your out-of-pocket expenses? Pay me for my time, retire the debt, and earn a fair return on the money I will have invested in the business. You plan to have a five-year, $20,000 amortized note, and you desire a 15% return, $6,000 on your $40,000 investment. This example assumes that the business is the sole proprietorship described in level two. $85,000 plus $25,000 plus $5,220 plus $6,000 over 50% equals $242,440. You will be willing to live with level one for the first year if you finance the business yourself and do not need to borrow any money. However, if other people invest in the business, or if you borrow money, the business will have to do better than level one. if it is to meet the investor's or lender's expectations. The investor or lender will want to know before putting money into the business when and if the business will be able to stand on its own feet and pay everyone involved for their time, risk, and money. Cost volume profit analysis may provide a quick estimate of your break-even point and profit and loss levels, but two things need to be stressed. First, your calculations will be only as accurate as your estimates of expenses. Second, when the level of sales increases to a certain point, your selling and administrative expenses, advertising space, employees, and so on, may have an increase to support or foster the increase of sales. Increases in these expenses will need to be reflected in your calculations. The examples provided have been fairly simplistic. Fortunately, electronic spreadsheets can easily handle complicated financial calculations. If your sales estimate for the first year will provide a sufficient level of profit or an acceptable minimal loss for you to still be interested in starting the proposed business, you are ready to work on the remaining parts of your financial plan. The remainder of this chapter is devoted to providing financial projections for the first 5 years. It should be noted here that the projections have been simplified and contain estimates for most dimensions. The calculations are also based on the following assumptions. The business will be started on January 1st. No cash outlays will occur before January 1st. To simplify the example, the firm business will be open for business on January 15th. Sales for January are one half of the sales for the average month. Lowering the sale forecast for the first year from $240,000, 10% market share, to $230,000. The entrepreneur invests $40,000 in the business and is the sole stockholder. The business will be a subchapter S corporation with taxes paid by the stockholder. The business will also be financed via a $20,000 five-year note from a friend. The note will be amortized at 11% interest. The overall market is expected to grow by 3% per year. The business's market share is expected to increase by 1% per year. Some expenses are expected to increase by 5% per year. Other expenses are expected to increase by 3% per year. A few expenses are not expected to increase. The 1,500-acre-foot facility is more than enough for the first year. By the end of the fifth year, additional space will be needed if the business is to continue to grow. The facility is in good shape and will not need extensive decorating. An additional part-time employee will be added for the fourth year. The facility will need to be redecorated at the beginning of the fourth year. Starting in the third year, 35% of annual earnings will be distributed as a dividend at the end of each year. The dividend reduces the business's cash position, but it provides the entrepreneur with cash to pay the personal income taxes that are associated with being a stockholder in a subchapter S corporation. It should also be noted that the financial projections will be only as accurate as the assumptions that are made and the accuracy of the data to go into them. The projections in the following tables indicate a fairly high rate of profit as a percent of sales by the third year. The level and percent of profit will be reduced dramatically if the business cannot generate the estimated level of sales. The gross margin is less than 50% of sales. Operating expenses are underestimated. Sales for the overall market do not grow as much as anticipated, and or the business is not able to get a 10% market share in its first year and increase its share by 1% per year thereafter. The projections are so sensitive that if expenses are underestimated by a few percentage points and sales are overestimated by a few percentage points, the business could lose a lot of money. And what I'd like to do is take a break here and let you know to visit my website, onepersonalcareercoach.com, if you're interested in getting coaching and finding out how to start your own business. And starting your own business does not always mean having a brick and mortar store. It does not always mean that you need that overhead, because when you work from home, you not only get tax breaks, but you also get the opportunity to not have to have as much overhead, but you do have to make sure that your bills are paid for when you are working in the home. I'd like to welcome back after this break, and we're going to be talking about preparing your pro forma financial statements. You have come a long way in preparing your financial plan. You have estimated your first year sales. You have break-even point, your initial capital requirement, whether you have enough money to start your business, and your cash flow statement. You will need to prepare your opening balance sheet, a projected income statement for the first year, the closing balance sheet for the first year, the income statements for the second through fifth years, and the balance sheets for the second through fifth years. You should also compute the key financial ratios for the first few years. Now, this is also something you should be doing even if you work from home and you have a product that you've created to sell, because even though everything is digital products that are download, you still have to figure that your time is worth money, and part of what you're doing when you are creating your product is you're spending your time on it. So that makes the product worth money. So you got to figure out what is your product, what do you expect to make by the end of the year, what is it that your expenses are, and how can you add all that up and figure out what you need to make per month, and then break that down to per week, and then you can figure out what your time is worth per hour. Once you do that, then it gives you a good idea of what you need to sell your products for. At this point, you are probably saying, do I really need to do all these calculations and projections? I doubt that many people going into business do all these things. You are right. Most first-timers don't perform these computations. Numerous new businesses fail each year, and some were destined to fail before they were even started. Their founders either did not know how to perform these calculations or were so eager to start their business that they were unwilling to take the time to look before they leap. Financial projections allow you to take the mental journey before you take the actual entrepreneurial journey. If you want to start a business that beats the odds, you must do a thorough job of financial planning. Running the numbers is an essential part of your business plan. These projections not only give you an idea of what you can expect, but also serve as benchmarks to verify whether things are going as planned after the business is started. Would you like to be a passenger on a plane if the pilot did not check the weather report, check the fuel level, and follow a flight plan before taking off? If not, then do not take the same type of risk by not identifying the key financial factors, projections, and indicators that must be taken into account in order to start and manage a successful business. The following pro forma projected financial statement will be helpful as you plan your business. Also, if you plan to borrow money from a bank or someone else or to sell stock to finance your business, you will be expected to have them preparing your initial balance sheet. The opening balance sheet provides a picture of how the business will be financed and how the money will be allocated. The balance sheet is made up of assets, liabilities, and owner's equity. Assets represent the items you need to have in order to operate your business. You will need cash, inventory, equipment, and so on in order to sell products or services. When you start your business, every dollar or assets will have to be financed either through debt or with money that you and other people have invested in your business. This is why it is called a balance sheet. Every dollar in assets will have to be balanced by a dollar of liabilities or equity. Equity includes the amount you and others invested in the business and the earnings that remain in the business after it is started. The balance sheet indicates the amount of business assets that are owed and owned. It is based on the following formula. For example, if you plan to start a business with $30,000 in inventory, the $30,000 will have to come from or be balanced by a loan or money from you or other investors. Net worth is determined by subtracting the liabilities from the assets. If your business is profitable, you should be in a position to expand the business, increase assets, or pay off the loans used to finance some of the original assets. The initial balance sheet is important for numerous reasons. It reflects how much money will be needed to start the business and how the business will be funded. It also gives bankers or a friend or family members and investors an idea about what will be owned and what will be owed. The balance sheet also provides a picture of whether the assets will consist of equipment, inventory, or land and buildings. Some assets are easier to convert to cash than others if the business falters. The balance sheet thus indicates the downside risk for potential leaders and investors. The income statement reflects the results of the year's business activity. It indicates the level of sales, the cost of goods sold, the operating expenses, and the resulting profit or loss. If you prepared the cash flow statement, then most of the work of projecting the first year's income statement has already been done. The income statement for the first year is important because it projects the level of profit available for funding growth, reducing debt obligations, or providing a return which may include paying the investors dividends. Because of the uncertainty of the first year sales, it may be advisable to prepare your first year's income statement for three different levels of sales: the most likely level, a pessimistic level, and an optimistic level. If the projected income statement indicates that the business is expected to make a profit in the first year, then the owner must be prepared to pay income taxes. For this and other reasons, it may be advisable to prepare income statements on a monthly basis for the first year. The Internal Revenue Service and your state's Department of Revenue will expect estimated income tax payments on a quarterly or, in some cases, monthly basis when you start making a profit. The income statement will enable you to identify when the business will generate a profit, how much the profit will be, and what your tax obligations will be, and when you will need to have funds available in order to meet your tax obligations. Another tax factor should also be noted. The Internal Revenue Service wants small businesses to use the calendar year for tax returns. If you start your business in May, your first year's projected income statement should reflect your expected levels of sales, expenses, and profit or loss for the calendar year, even though it may not be for 12 months. Preparing your first calendar year-end balance sheet. It will be beneficial for you to project the balance sheet for the completion of your first calendar year of operation. This balance sheet will reflect the change in financial condition from the initial balance sheet as a result of your cash flow and your profit or loss. Unless you added more debt, paid off debt, invested more in the business, or were involved in a major expansion during the first year, most of the changes between these two balance sheets will be reflected in the income statement. If your business is expected to make a profit and have a positive cash flow, your assets and equity should be increased. Conversely, if the business is expected to lose money and you do not expect to have enough cash available to meet the financial obligations, you may need to seek additional debt or equity financing in order to provide a sufficient level of cash to continue operations. In any event, if the first calendar year end balance sheet will provide a picture of the annual of the amount of assets involved in the business and the extent to which they are owned versus owed. In most cases, if the business made a profit, your balance sheet will indicate that you own a larger portion of the business than when you first opened its doors. This is how businesses create wealth. Preparing the income statements for the second through fifth years. It is advisable to prepare income statements for at least the first 3 years of operation. The second and third years are particularly important. As noted earlier, most businesses do not make a profit in their first year. Projecting your second and third year income statements will give you a better idea about whether your company will be profitable, when you may achieve profitability, and the level of profit or loss you may expect each year. The income statement may also indicate when you will be able to give yourself a raise. Your sales estimate is the most important part of your projected income statements and corresponding cash flow. You will need to forecast whether your sales will increase from year to year. Many businesses experience a continued increase in sales from the first to second year of operation. While you will be continuing your effort to create more new customers in the second year, you may already benefit from the repeat customers from the first year. Even though the income statements in Table 8.5 are annual projections, you should project your business's second year income statements on a quarterly basis. Each quarter should be reflect both any growth in sales and any seasonality that affects your business. Quarterly income statements will also be helpful if you want to project your cash flow for the second year of operation. The quarterly statements may then be consolidated into year-end income statements for your second year. The second year's income statement will also be important if your business will be operating on a calendar year. If you plan to start your business in May, your first year's income statement will reflect only 8 months of business. Your second year's income statement is important because it will reflect the complete business cycle from January through December. The income statements for the following years can be projected on an annual basis. It is also worth your time and effect to project the income statements for the third, fourth, and fifth years. These do not need to be done on a quarterly basis unless your business will have wide seasonal fluctuations in sales. The third through fifth year's income statements will provide a picture of the projected level of business activity and profits. If you borrowed money to start the business and the loan officer or a friend or family member will want to see if the business will be taking enough money to pay off the note in 5 years, the people who invested in the business will also want to know what they can expect in return via increased value or dividends of their investment. The third through fifth year's income statements will also be important because they should indicate whether you expect the business to level off or continue growing. If your business plan involves opening an additional store, offering additional goods or services, or expanding your sales territory, your projected income statement should reflect these changes. They should indicate the resulting increases in sales and expectations and profits. The projected income statements will be based on numerous assumptions. You will have to estimate the rate of inflation in expenses, the nature and extent of competition, whether you can increase your prices, and whether your target market is expected to grow, stay about the same, or shrink. Electronic spreadsheets may make during the financial projections easier, but they will have to give a lot of thought to what the future may hold, who your competitors will be, and what your business should be doing in the years to come. Preparing the balance sheets for the second through fifth years. The projected income statements will enable you to prepare the projected balance sheets beyond the first year of operation. The projected income statements will indicate the level of profits projected for each year. Each year's profit or loss in cash flow will affect the corresponding year's balance sheet. The balance sheets will also reflect the extent to which various assets have been depreciated. If you bought a piece of equipment for $8,000 that had a useful life of 7 years, then each year's balance sheet will reflect the declining or depreciated value of that asset. The balance sheet thereby gives the net book value of the business's assets. The balance sheets give a picture of what the business is expected to look like at the close of each calendar year. Each balance sheet will show the size and composition of the assets, the liabilities, and the net worth of business to its owners. The balance sheets will also reflect whether the business will need to borrow money or whether some of its profits can be distributed to the owners. The balance sheets for the fifth year will be particularly relevant if signed a 5-year note to help start the business. The fifth year's balance sheet will indicate what your business will look like in the financial terms when the note is paid off. If you have not borrowed any additional money and you have the cash to retire the 5-year note and it comes due, you will own the home business at the end of 5 years. The preceding example reflected an amortized note that was being paid off on a monthly basis. If the loan had not been amortized, then it would have had to be paid off with a balloon payment of $20,000 at the end of 5 years. In either case, when people start a business and get a loan, 5 years may seem to be a long time, but your financial projections let you see if there will be a light at the end of the 5-year tunnel. The idea of owning a business at the end of 5 years is an exciting project and will make the time, effort, and anxiety associated with starting a new business more worthwhile. Table 8.8 indicates that by the end of the fifth year, the business will have $101,618 in assets and no debt. This means that the $40,000 you invested in the business will have grown to $101,618. The appreciation on the value of your business is noteworthy because the projections include a dividend of 35% of each year's project profit starting in the third year. The annual dividend is important because it should provide you with a cash you need to pay the personal income taxes that are associated with being a stockholder in your S corporation. While the numbers appear to be very encouraging, they are merely the product of various assumptions. As noted earlier, if any of the assumptions about the rate of growth, market share, stock turn, or expenses vary by even the smallest percentage, the corresponding cash flow, income statement, and balance sheet projections will change. Remember, things rarely go as planned. You need to run the numbers, but you cannot afford to believe that they are perfect projections of what will actually plan. Now, what we did was we went through and we talked about the projections of what you need for 5 years. But if you're not very good with numbers, then you need to contract with an accountant, because an accountant, that is their specialty, understanding numbers and understanding how to project income for a business. And they can sit down with you and they can help you figure out what you would need to actually start your business, what you need to actually buy your merchandise for the business, what your overhead could be, what your monthly and quarterly projections need to be. Because that is their expertise, is helping someone go into business and helping them be successful in a business on a numbers game. If you are good with numbers, then you can do this yourself, but it usually helps to have an accountant working with you, whether you're in business for yourself working from home or whether you are in business opening up a brick-and-mortar store. And we just got a few more things that we want to cover in the last few sections, and then what I want to do is talk to you about what you can do and how we can go about helping you get to the next level of where you want to be. So, running the numbers is an essential part of the business plan. This part of the business plan can be viewed as a financial roadmap for charting the future direction of your business. A considerable amount of your time will have to be spent analyzing your business and making the financial calculations. These activities are an essential part of your business plan. Few people who start a business plan have an in-depth understanding of financial accounting. Nevertheless, running the numbers is a part of starting and managing a business that cannot be ignored or left to an accountant. Almost every business decision has a financial dimension. You will not be able to make good decisions without a good understanding of the financial statement. If the number one reason for failure of small businesses is mismanagement and the number two reason is financial problems, then you need to develop a financial competence in order to increase your chances of beating the odds. If you don't understand cash flow, income statements, balance sheets, and how they are interrelated, then learn about them before your lack of knowledge causes you to make the wrong decisions. Okay, now, in the last 5 minutes, what I want to do is discuss this much. If you are not prepared to have your own business, then you do need to go to a school of business where you can learn some of the basics, such as project management, putting financial statements in place, things that will help you have a good overview of having a good business sense and running a business that will be a successful business. Because because the biggest thing that we want to help you do is have a very successful business today. And remember, having a successful business depends on, if you're running a brick and mortar store, you have to consider not only that, but you very much have to consider training your employees, because you want to have employees that offer good customer service, that they can communicate very easily with the employees, that they have a very outgoing personality. Simple reason, you want to bring people back to your business. You don't want it to be just a one-time sale. If it's a one-time sale, then guess what? Then you're having to entice more and more customers in each time. So what you're trying to do is create an opportunity for yourself where you have repeat business. And that is a very important part of running a very successful business today, is to have people who will not only like what you have to offer, but can also go out there and bring you more business by word of mouth. Because if you offer good customer service, if you're someone that they know they can call and talk to, if they have problems, then guess what? They will come back and buy your product the next time they need it. When they have issues, they will call you. They will follow up. So remember, you want to be able to offer good customer service. Now, we're currently in an economy that's a down economy. So a lot of companies don't want to put money into training their employees. So what's happened is there's poor customer service. There's situations where companies are losing sales, even though there are people that are still buying today, even during this downtime. So how can you get above the curve, especially since you are looking to start up a new business? And remember, you need to, whether it's a business that you're working from home or whether it's a business that you're working where you're working in a physical location, then you need to know that you can build good customer service and into your employees, into your service that you offer to your customers, and that your employees can provide that service. And remember, you have a down economy in these times, so how can you plan and think of ways that you can be successful? Because even though we've been talking about a 5-year projection plan, also you might need to think about it as a 10-year or 15-year projection plan, because you don't know that when times change and income goes down, that you're going to have to take out more loans. And if that happens, and I know someone who has a bakery, and they've done a very good business, and they stayed constantly very busy during the down economy. But guess what? During a down economy, even though they're a bakery, and even though they're in a building where there's a lot of employees and people come down for breaks and lunch and other things like that, they're still in a downturn, so people are not coming in as often. They're not buying as many as every day like they used to be. They're doing more of going in the grocery store and getting the products they need to make their own sandwiches, so it's cutting into those expenses. But you still have to keep your same employees in place and then just cut down in their hours. That's what a lot of companies are doing today. And since we're down in the last minute, what I'd also like to do is let you know that we are now going through the last 4 weeks, and we're going to be talking about sources of funding, alternatives to starting from scratch, and also the entrepreneurial do's and don'ts, because these are important things that you need to think about if you want to have a successful business today. And I also want to remind you that you can go to my website, onepersonalcareercoach.com, and sign up for a year's worth of career coaching, because it really will take you time to to get through and go and cover everything you need to know to build a successful business. Also, are you looking at having something where you are interested in building a very successful business?